When I was laughing at things that would happen in Don't Be Afraid, I felt wrong.
Right. Yeah.
and I suspect you did that on purpose, my friend.
Yes, that's the whole thing that I was trying for in the novel, and I think that it rings true, like in the way that I think it's true to the way in which we experience grief, the way in which we experience loss and sadness, that we never have emotions that are unmixed. It always is involved with some other emotion. It's always a complicated thing that is going on for us. There's one moment in the novel in which Jim Morrison, who's the protagonist, this kid, the 17-year-old kid, makes a joke about his brother dying. And the person to whom he's speaking bursts out in just absolutely uncontrollable laughter, mostly because he thinks the guy he's talking to thinks is expecting him to say something like to fall apart completely or say something awful. And I think that is something that I experienced a lot, like in my life, where, you know, you'll be in a very sad circumstance, you'll say something funny, and people will just absolutely react. And
almost overreact.
Yes, yeah. Overreact just to get rid of the energy that's pent up in them. But also, to me, they're not separate, the tragic emotions and the comic emotions. To me, they're intertwined. And at the root of all... at the root of tragedy is comedy, and vice versa. And I think the novel tries to get at that in a very visceral way through this grieving 17-year-old.
Let's talk about your narrator and his relationship with his slightly older brother, Mike.
Yeah. So Jim Morrison grows up. Jim Morrison is my protagonist. I named him after the Doors lead singer. But there's many Jim Morrisons out there. And so I had this idea that I wanted to write about somebody named Jim Morrison, somebody who had this name that was in some way already occupied, in some way already used up. And so he enters the world through that name, but also under the, you know, within that shadow, you know, as it were, but also within the shadow of his older brother, who he has a very romanticized view of, who he has also an ambivalent relationship to when he's alive, but then as soon as he's dead, it becomes very idealized and doesn't quite lose that ambivalence. And Jim experiences various forms of guilt, one of them being, why am I still alive? Which is, I think, common when you have someone close to you die. A question that you ask yourself, I think, in a very real way is, why am I still alive? What happened? What happened to allow me to keep on going? And he says, it's my brother who should be alive. He's the real lead singer of the family. And that phrase, as colloquial as it is, I think it really does capture the feeling of absence that he has. He's the guy who should be fronting the band. He's the guy who should be fronting the family. And it's that relationship that's very much at the core of it. When I was starting this novel, when I was just finishing the novel, I should say, I was living in Cleveland, where the book is set, and Paul Quarrington, who was a great friend of mine, came out, and he stayed there for a week. And I remember talking to him about this novel. And he told me a story about Mel Brooks and Noel Coward in New York. And Brooks says to Coward, you know, what are you working on? And Coward says, a play. Brooks says, what's it about? Coward says, well, these two brothers. Stop, says Brooks. I'm crying already. And I think that's right. Like the book is very much about those, you know, they're these two brothers. Stop, I'm crying already. It's that relationship that's at the heart of the novel.
His family are in grief counseling, and they're all kind of reacting differently. So take me through the surviving members of the family and their little quirks.
Yeah, so the surviving members of the family are his father, Fortitude Morrison, who is a forensic engineer. And he, in the wake of Mike's death, has become obsessed with getting to the bottom of it in an engineering sense. What are the physics of what happened? Jim's mother, Philomena Morrison, is an ex-nun, and she, after her son dies, retreats almost completely from the world, enters a kind of complicated silence, which has to do with her loss of faith. And so one of the things that she's struggling with in the novel is how to understand what it means to have lost this kid. And she has the idea of having a birthday party for him, and as a way of sort of commemorating this birthday party for a dead kid. And that's occupies the sort of the second half of the novel. Like, why is she doing that, and where does that take us? Jim has a sister named Vivian who, in her mother's sort of retreat, is charged with cooking for the family, something she does awfully and always with the microwave. And then Jim has a younger brother named Petey, who's a 5-year-old, and who, when Jim, it seems that Jim can't go to school anymore because he's too wrecked emotionally, he's made to take Petey, his brother, to preschool every day. And one of the central parts of the novel is the way in which my character Jim comes to understand his place in the world and who he is through talking to these mothers who are standing around outside the door of a preschool.
You take kind of serious issues, and but there's a light touch, but I never feel like it's glib. That must be hard to manage.
I don't really think of it as being managing, it's just the way that I think. You know, I will never, I find it impossible to approach a serious issue seriously. And I find it very difficult to approach a comic issue in strictly comedic terms. And it's that sort of mixed mode, to be Aristotelian for a moment, but it's that mixing of modes that is just part and parcel of who I am. I don't decide it. It's just, you know, there's a way in which, like, you can edit your books and you can refine them and you can clarify what you meant to say. But the core of it, you can't change. You're just who you are. And people, when they read, they either respond to or they don't respond to that sensibility. And I've been lucky in that people have responded to it. And it's just, but it's not a conscious, but not, I wouldn't call it a conscious decision. I see it as a personal failing in my personal life, by the way. It's just lucky that I can write these books and be sort of comedic about these things that really aren't very comedic. Because in my life I do the same thing, and it can be tiresome. I'm aware of it, yeah.
The book is Don't Be Afraid, a novel. I'm speaking to the author Stephen Hayward, and Don't Be Afraid, published by Connaught Canada.